Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, it was on this very day back in 1957 that singer Little Richard, known for such hits as Good Golly, Miss Molly and Tutti Frutti, did what? To prove that he was giving up rock and roll for his faith in God? Was it A, he burned all of his records in a huge bonfire? Was it B, he shaved his head and started wearing a monk's robe? Was it C, he started a starvation vegetarian diet? Or was it D, he tossed diamond rings into a river? Or E, all of the above? So what did Little Richard do on this very day to prove his faith in God? And question number two, what did a radio DJ report on this day back in 1969 about a Beatles song being played backwards? Was it A, that Paul McCartney is dead? Was it B, that John Lennon loves Yoko Ono? Was it C, that the Beatles predicted that the Earth would end in 1970? Or was it D, that Ringo Starr and George Harrison were illegal aliens? So what was the secret message embedded in a 1969 Beatles song? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of October the 11th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1872 that English composer Ralph Vaughan Williams was born. He was known for such compositions as The Lark Ascending. His B-Day, born today in 1872. And it was 27 years ago today, 1997, that John Denver was killed when the plane he was piloting crashed into Monterey Bay, California. He was 53 years old, and that was 1997 today. Harry James Orchestra's Gershwin Medley introduces our jazz music news. It's titled, Known as the Girl Gershwin, this Kansas City composer was a trailblazer for women. This is published in Classical KC by Lila Manning and Sam Wiseman on August 23, 2024. Dana Susi gave her first concert recital on the piano when she was only 8 years old. The child prodigy who grew up in Kansas City learned to play the pipe organ, sing, and even write poetry, some of which was published in the Kansas City Star, from an early age. Susie dreamed of being a composer. After composing and performing in Kansas City for most of her youth, Susie moved to New York at age 17, hoping to find a larger audience for her classical works. When that proved to be a struggle, she wrote popular songs for film and theater instead. These pop tunes became her most enduring works and were performed by some of America's most sought-after stars, such as Doris Day, Peggy Lee, and Frank Sinatra. During this period, she composed her first hit and gained notice from the film and television industry with Syncopated Love Song. Her 1934 song, You Oughta Be in Pictures, was picked up by Warner Brothers and used in a 1940 Looney Tunes cartoon by the same name. My Silent Love was used in the 1954 film Sabrina, starring Humphrey Bogart and Audrey Hepburn. The New Yorker magazine first dubbed her the Girl Gershwin in 1933 because Gershwin and Susie were good at both Tin Pan Alley and symphonic stuff. To her chagrin, the name stuck. Dana did not like that because people tended to drop that phrase a little too often. And in country music news, we have this article titled, Four Country Debut Albums That Changed the Genre. This is written by Alex Hopper on September 25th, 2024, AmericanSongwriter.com. All it takes is one good debut album to turn a genre on its head. The music industry is always looking for the next best thing, and a great first album can not only put an artist on the fast track to fame, but prompt other artists to follow their lead. Find four country debut albums that did just that below. Number one, Johnny Cash with his Hot and Blue Guitar. Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash's influence on country music cannot be denied. On top of his unique sound, his weighty lyrical themes transfixed and related to audiences in a way few of his peers had previously accomplished. That reputation all started with his debut album, Johnny Cash, with his Hot and Blue Guitar, and these lyrics. I lie awake at night to wait till you come in. You stay a little while, and then you're gone again. Every question that I ask, I get a lie, lie, lie. For every lie you tell, you're gonna cry, cry, cry. And coming in at number two is the Judds album called Why Not Me? Next up on our list of country debut albums, we have the Judds, Why Not Me? Similarly, the Judds were endlessly transformative on country music. They started a new era for female artists in the genre. Moreover, they looked to the past to influence their classic sound. Their debut album is host to some of their most memorable hits, including the perennial Mama, He's Crazy. It was a powerful first effort from a duo that proved to be an enduring force in the genre with these lyrics. Mama, he's crazy, crazy over me, and in my life is where he says he always wants to be. I've never been so in love, he beats all I've ever seen, and mama, he's crazy over me. And at number three is Wide Open Spaces by The Chicks. No one needs to explain how the Chicks have influenced country music. Their career turned on its head in 2003 when they dared to speak on President Bush and his decision to send the U.S. into Iraq. Though they received a lot of backlash, it set in motion an entire generation of country artists that were more outspoken about their beliefs. But long before that fateful moment, their debut album helped to establish a classic sound that would inspire a generation of musicians in a different, yet equally as consequential way, with these lyrics. She needs wide open spaces, room to make her big mistakes. She needs new faces. She knows the high stakes. And at number four, last but not least, Taylor Swift. Lastly on our list of country debut albums, we have Taylor Swift's. Her self-titled record likely incited envy in her peers. It was deeply successful and brought listeners into the genre that previously hadn't been familiar with it. Her pop-leaning sound was fodder for crossover success, and clearly it was enough to set her on a path for unstoppable fame, with lyrics like this. Our song is the slamming screen door, sneaking out late, tapping on your window. When we're on the phone and you talk real slow, 'cause it's late and your mama don't know. Our song is the way you laugh. The first date, man, I didn't kiss her, and I should have. And when I got home, for I've said amen, asking God if he could play it again. Little River Band's Reminiscing introduces our rock and pop music news. It's titled, The 25 Greatest Yacht Rock Songs of All Time, featuring the Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, Christopher Cross, and more. This is written by Matt Mitchell, September 29, 2024, in Paste magazine. What is yacht rock? Well, it's a subgenre that stretches into everything from prog and pop to blue-eyed soul, jazz, disco, funk, and R&B. But at the end of the day, yacht rock is a smooth gesture of soft rock, and from 1972 through 1982, few factions of mainstream music were as elemental or beloved. It's a style of music delivered through vibes and energy. I can hear a song and say, that's a yacht rock song, but I don't expect me to elaborate. Now, I'm afraid of boats, so I can't really say for sure whether or not all of these yacht songs would make for a good seaside experience. I'll let you be the judge, but then again, all of this is arbitrary, so let's just all enjoy it together. So without further ado, the list starts with number 25, Gary Wright, Dreamweaver, 1975. Number 24, Players, Baby Come Back, 1977. Number 23, Bob Welch's Sentimental Lady, 1972. Number 22, Elvin Bishop's Fooled Around and Fell in Love, 1976. Number 21, Alan Parsons Project, Eye in the Sky, 1982. Number 20, The Eagles, I Can't Tell You Why, 1979. Number 19, Christopher Cross, Arthur's Theme, 1981. Number 18, Orleans, Still the One, 1976. And coming in at 17 is the song playing in the background now, Little River Band, Reminiscing, 1978. I'm not much of a Little River fan, truther, but by God, if Reminiscing isn't one of the most yacht-rockian, yacht-rock songs ever assembled, when I think of the subgenre, this is what I hear. I'll give my proper thanks to Graham Goebel, who wrote it, and Glenn Shorrock, who sings it. You all really captured the essence of an entire movement. Inspired by black and white movies and Glenn Miller's music, Reminiscing taps into a sentimental mode that few romantic songs of the era could. It's danceable without sacrificing the emotional weight of the Little River Band's three-part harmonies. And coming in at number 16, Ambrosia's Biggest Part of Me, 1980. Number 15, Toto's Rosanna, 1982. Number 14, Daryl Hall and John Oates' Rich Girl, 1977. Number 13, Al Stewart, Year of the Cat, 1976. Number 12, America's Sister Golden Hair, 1975. Number 11, Donald Fagen, New Frontier, 1982. Number 10, Seals and Croft, Summer Breeze, 1972. Number 9, Chicago, Saturday in the Park, 1972. Number 8, Chris Norman and Susie Quattro, Stumbling In, 1978. Number 7, Aces, How Long, 1975. Number 6, Steely Dan, Dirty Work, 1972. Number 5, Jackson Browne, Doctor, My Eyes, 1972. Number 4, Boz Scaggs, Lowdown, 1976. Number 3, The Doobie Brothers, What a Fool Believes, 1978. We'll be hearing that at the end of the program, by the way. Number 2, Looking Glass, that's Brandy's You're a Fine Girl, 1972. And coming in at number 1, Jerry Rafferty, Right Down the Line, 1978. So these are your Yacht Rock Hot 25.
I wanna ask you, do you ever sit and wonder it's so strange we could be together for so long and never know, never care what goes on in the other one's head? Things I felt but I never said. You said things that I never said, so I'll say something that I should have said long ago.
Ben Folds, You Don't Know Me, introduces our local music news. It's titled, Ben Folds to Play Hurricane Helene Benefit Concert in Wilmington, North Carolina. Our goal with this benefit concert is to raise awareness and funds to support the massive rebuilding efforts now underway, the artist says. This is written by Corey Groh in Rolling Stone magazine, October 8, 2024. Tickets for the concert are on sale now. 100% of proceeds will go to the North Carolina Disaster Relief Fund, which will provide food, housing, and home repair services to people affected by the storm. The United Way of North Carolina is overseeing the fund. I'm honored to share the stage and stand in unity with other North Carolina music artists to help those whose lives and livelihoods have been tragically lost or forever altered by the horrific events triggered by Hurricane Helene, Fold said in a statement. Our goal with this benefit concert is to raise awareness and funds to support the massive rebuilding efforts now underway, and that will be ongoing for months and years to come.
So, what I'm trying to say is, what
But what?
I'm trying to tell you it's not gonna come out like I wanna say it, cause I know you'll only change it.
Say it.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
Here in coastal North Carolina, we know this power of nature to disrupt lives and endanger communities, Bill Sappho, Wilmington's mayor, said. That's why we feel so deeply for those in the western part of the state whose lives have been upended by Hurricane Helene. We look forward to a beautiful night of music with Ben Folds, but also musicians from Western North Carolina, traveling to Wilmington to share their talent and firsthand accounts of the devastation their region is experiencing. Folds was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and after an abbreviated stint at the University of Miami, attended the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. He formed the Ben Folds Five 3 decades ago in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Hurricane Helene has become the deadliest hurricane since Hurricane Katrina. About half of the 227 people who died as a result of the storm lived in North Carolina, according to the Associated Press. Efforts to rebuild the area are underway. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1957 that singer Little Richard, known for such hits as Good Golly, Miss Molly and Tutti Frutti, did what to prove that he was giving up rock and roll for his faith in God? Was it A, he burned all of his records in a huge bonfire? Was it B, he shaved his head and started wearing a monk's robe? Was it C, he started a starvation vegetarian diet? Or was it D, he tossed diamond rings into a river? Or E, all of the above? Correct answer. Answer D. He tossed not just one, but on this day back in 1957, Little Richard tossed 4 diamond rings into the Hunter River in Sydney, Australia, to prove that he was giving up rock and roll for his faith in God. Little Richard returned to music, by the way, just 5 years later. And the answer to our second question, what did a radio DJ report on this day back in 1969 about a Beatles song being played backwards? Was it A, that Paul McCartney is dead? Was it B, that John Lennon loves Yoko Ono? Was it C, that the Beatles predicted that the Earth would end in 1970? Or was it D, that Ringo Starr and George Harrison were illegal aliens? Correct answer? Answer A. The Paul is dead craze began when a radio DJ played Revolution No. 9 backwards. The independent.co.uk reported that the story goes that in October 1969, Detroit DJ Russ Gibb was hosting his show on WKNR when a mystery caller rang in to report that when you played Revolution 9 backwards, you heard the words, "Turn me on, dead man." It was evidence, quote-unquote, the caller claimed, that the real McCartney had died in 1966 in a car crash on the M1 in the UK and had been replaced by a lookalike. Fans scoured songs and claimed that if you listen to Strawberry Fields Forever backwards, from 1967, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, John says, "I buried Paul." They also claim that the Walrus from I Am the Walrus from 1967's Magical Mystery Tour is a Viking symbol of death, and that 1970's famous Abbey Road album cover is actually a symbolic funeral procession, with Lennon as the clergyman in white, Ringo Starr as the undertaker in black, George Harrison as the gravedigger in workman's clothing, and McCartney's lookalike as the corpse of the man he was allegedly impersonating in bare feet. With more and more bands using or being accused of using quote-unquote, back masking, by the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, some U.S. Christian organizations had started to accuse rock and roll musicians of using it to hide, quote-unquote, satanic messages to brainwash people. In 1982, popular TV evangelist Paul Crouch accused Led Zeppelin of hiding the lyrics, "Here's to My Sweet Satan," in their 1971 hit, Stairway to Heaven. It led to two unsuccessful attempts in the early 1980s by the U.S. states California and Arkansas to pass legislation banning backmasking as an invasion of privacy that can manipulate our behavior without our knowledge or consent and turn us into disciples of the Antichrist. The Arkansas laws referenced albums by The Beatles, Queen, and Pink Floyd. And there were also calls for similar legislation in Texas and Canada. In 2007, psychologist Professor Brian Wandell, now director of Stanford University's Center for Cognitive and Neurobiological Imaging, told the Seattle Times that the phenomena of hearing hidden messages in songs was partially down to the human psyche looking for structure and patterns amid chaos. He said, "Wait long enough and certain structures will start to emerge that people will agree on because our brains are built and wired to look for things according to particular rules. So it's not surprising that one might take 500,000 hours of famous songs, listen to them backward, and occasionally hear something that everybody in the room agrees sounds like something weird, even though it wasn't intended to be there." Eric Borgos, who runs the audio reversal website TalkBackwards.com, similarly told the Wall Street Journal, "Mathematically, if you listen long enough, eventually you'll find a pattern." So let's close out today's program on a more coherent note with a song that qualifies as both a yacht rock and a happy song. Here, then, is the Doobie Brothers, "What a Fool Believes." Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. Program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.